Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Guys, isn't that a sexy beat? That is not the normal Everything Iconic music. That is Glass Battles with a song called Lime Green. Now, for the month of June, Pride Month, we are spotlighting indie LGBT artists. So that is Glass Battles with a song called Lime Green. And the lead of Glass Battles is a friend named Sean, and he's just fantastic. He sent me that song. It's brand new, but he sent it to me while I was on a treadmill. I was at the gym, you know. And so I played it, and I immediately started to feel, like, very sexy. I was walking different. And I love a song, like a moody song that makes you feel something different, you know? And they have another song that's, like, permanently on my workout playlist called Santa Barbara. So, so good. So check out Glass Battles. You know, it also kind of makes me want drugs. like a weird, you know, I don't do drugs, but it kind of makes you feel that way, right? Like, I was on the treadmill just feeling like I needed a Molly. I got home, you guys, and immediately I was, like, looking for any sort of drug. I was like, hand me a Rolaide and some St. John's wort. I just need to feel distorted because of that song. I mean, come on. I've not experimented with many drugs outside of Rolaides and St. John's wort. I mostly kept it to those. You know, I'm not too good with an altered state. Like, I do like a little wine. You know, that's about it. Do you guys remember on Saved by the Bell when Jesse Spano had caffeine pills? They made it. It was like a whole special episode, and they made her look like she was a complete drug addict. And she was just taking, you know, what was the equivalent of a Diet Coke. she had a Diet Coke to study. And, you know, it was in pill form. And so they, you know, made this whole special episode. It was literally just caffeine pills that she was taking. I mean, we forget, but when I was younger, I thought, oh my God, she needs help. I hope she gets the help she deserves. Jesse Spano, you know, somebody help her out. And I've been thinking about Saved by the Bell this week because I went to this pop-up restaurant. So you remember on Saved by the Bell how they would always go hang out at the Max? They would have burgers there after school or whatever. Well, they recreated the Max here in LA, and it's this pop-up restaurant where you can make a reservation and literally go eat at the Max. And my friend got tickets. My friend Jenna, she asked if I wanted to go, and so I went with her and her boyfriend Jono and her friend Jackie, and we had the best time. But they asked if I wanted to go, and I thought, oh, it's going to be like kind of cheap and kitschy, you know? Well, it turns out it was very kitschy, but it was done so well. It was very nice. You know, they completely recreated the sets from the show, and you literally felt like you were in the Max. And even the waiters were wearing, like, the Max outfits, and there were random props everywhere. There was, like, this one area with lockers. You know, they had lockers for everyone in the cast. So the lockers would open, and you could see some props from the cast members. They even had a locker for Tori. Remember Tori, the biker chick? Her props in her locker were just an Indigo Girls CD and a picture of Ellen. I'm kidding. But in retrospect, she was a lesbian, right? We can all agree on that, I think. And Jesse Spano's locker had empty pill bottles from her caffeine breakdown. But anyway, it was so nice. So if you're in LA, go check it out. It's a little pricey. It was like $50 for tickets, but that includes an entree and an appetizer. So it was really, really fun, I thought, just as a fun night out. And we were talking afterwards. We're like, I wonder what other TV show restaurant replicates they could do. You know, like, wouldn't you love a Peach Pit pop-up restaurant? I mean, I love Dino 210. And they could do a Central Park, or a Central Perk, rather, from Friends. And I think they did that in New York, but I'd love to see it out in L.A. But if you're in L.A., go to see it. It's called Saved by the Max. So look up savedbythemax.com. You know, and it's self-care. I think in these times, lately, it seems like every time you turn on the TV or if you go on social media, everything seems so dark. I mean, the national conversation is tough. And then, guys, not only that, but I had some other tough stuff happen this week. Because I got myself into a pickle. I got myself into a little pickle. And look, it happens, but this particular pickle has never happened to me. It was a tough week. It was a tough week. Let me just back up for a second and say, I have this friend. She's a good friend. Her name is Beth. And ever since I could remember, we basically grew up together. And ever since I could remember, we would get each other's greeting cards for holidays or special occasions or just a thinking of you kind of greeting card. And it became this game where we would try to see who could get the more ridiculous card for the other person. So for instance, for her birthday, I'd get her a card that said, Happy Kwanzaa, you know, or for my birthday, she'd get me a card that says, you know, congrats on your retirement, Grandpa. You know, so like the card that fit the least for the occasion or the most ridiculous or the funniest, that would be the game. We would always try to get the most ridiculous card. And then sometimes, again, it'd be out of the blue. If I'm thinking of her and I see something ridiculous for her, I would get it for her. So the other day I was at the store and I was at this little boutique shop nearby my house. I was just kind of walking, browsing. I saw this card and it made me chuckle. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to get that for her. I've been missing her. She's in Ohio. We don't get to see each other a lot. And then I'm missing Beth. I want to send her a card. So I pick up this card, and I thought it was so cute. It said, it was a picture of someone not wearing. It sounds so gross to say it. But it was someone just wearing a shirt, like this, kind of like a cartoon man, just wearing a long shirt and no pants. And he was smiling, and the card said, smile if you're not wearing any underpants. Right? Like, that's cute. That's cute, right? sounds so stupid. I mean, he almost looked like he was wearing, like, a nighty. Like, it wasn't quite, like, nightgown length. Do you remember, did any of you wear, like, a long nightgown? I'm just having a flashback right now as I'm telling the story that I used to wear a nightgown when I was a kid. Like, an extra long shirt. I mean, I can't be the only one who wore an extra long shirt to bed. But, you know, I also wore that t-shirt in the pool. I digress. So anyway, I pick up the card. I didn't want to write anything on the inside. I thought I'd just put it in the envelope and then I'll send it off to her. So I put it in the envelope, put it on my desk, and I didn't have her address. So I just kind of set it on my desk. Then a few days later, unfortunately, my uncle passed away. And that's not the point of this story. And so I don't want, you know, I don't want to bum everyone out. But my uncle had passed away and my aunt, everyone had been expecting it. And he hadn't been doing that great for a little while. So anyway, I go to get a sympathy card for my aunt. So I head to the store, I get a sympathy card, and all the sympathy cards are all, you know, they're all pretty bleak. It's like dark clouds and like, sorry for my condolences, sending my love, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I come home and I didn't have her address either, right? So I just stuffed it in an envelope, set it on my desk, and I thought, you know, I texted my mom and I said, you know, send me Ann's address. So as soon as I got it, I figured I'd write it on the envelope. So a little time goes by and my mom texts me and I get the address and I go to write it on the envelope. And then, you know, I text Beth at the same time and I say, Beth, what's your address? I thought I'd send them together. She didn't text me back right away. So, you know, I only had the one, my Aunt Joanne's card ready, the sympathy card ready. So I go and put it in the mailbox, the outgoing mail. You know, the next day comes and I finally get a text back from Beth and it was her address. And I thought, you know what? There's this funny picture that I wanted to print out and put in the card. So, you know, I print this cute picture of us from back in the day. I thought, oh, I'm going to put it in the card and it'll be like a fun thing. So print out the picture, open up the envelope with Beth's card to stuff the picture in. And as I open up the envelope, it was the sympathy card. I accidentally sent my grieving aunt a card that said, smile if you're not wearing any underpants, with a cartoon man in a nightgown not wearing any underpants. I don't know if you guys have ever done this kind of mix-up before, but I've been on the edge of my seat ever since. As far as I'm concerned, she has not gotten it yet. I don't know that she, when she's going to get it. I don't know. I'm trying to get it intercepted. I'm praying that I wrote the wrong address on it. I'm hopeful that, you know, it'll get lost in the mail. All I can tell you is that the card had nothing on the inside. It was simply a cartoon man not wearing any underpants saying, smile if you're not wearing any underpants. And it went directly to my aunt right after her husband passed away. And you guys, that's not okay. That's not okay. It is not okay. I don't know. Part of me thinks that, like, maybe it would be okay. Like, wouldn't it be kind of nice to to get a note like that. But see, here's the thing. You know, the part of me that says, oh, well, maybe that'll be nice that she'll open up a card, because she's probably getting all those sympathy cards that are really bleak with the clouds and everything. So I thought maybe it'll actually be a good thing. She'll open it up and it'll be like a nice little surprise. But then I thought, I didn't even write anything on the inside. It just has my return address, and it's a cartoon wearing nighty without any underpants. I mean, what's the message there? I mean, if I wanted to just brighten up her day and send something random, then I should have at least written on the inside to my aunt, like, I'm sorry for your loss. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even explain myself. So she's going to open it and think I'm just so insensitive. Like, and how am I supposed to explain it? Like, it's hard to explain it. What am I going to, I'll have to send her this podcast and be like, listen. But she doesn't, I've been on the edge of my seat, you guys. I've been on the edge of my seat. And of course, I'm just going to send the sympathy card to Beth. She's getting a card that says, you know, sorry for your loss. That is what it is. And actually, to be honest, I might win the game between Beth and I, because that's probably the most ridiculous card I've sent, considering it's for my aunt. But I've been so stressed out about it. And, you know, I have a lot going on this week. I have a few new projects I'm working on. And then also, I briefly mentioned this on the show last week, but now Everything Iconic is moving to 2 days a week. So I'm so excited. We're going to have 2 episodes a week. And one of those episodes is going to be just how it is now. It's going to be Bravo recaps. It's going to be current pop culture talk and commentary and all that kind of stuff. And then the second episode is going to be about a specific topic. So every Monday there'll be an episode, and then every Thursday there'll be a new episode. Now, again, one will be exactly the same as how we've been doing them. You know, we'll be talking about Roni and you know, me sending my grieving aunt a card with a man wearing no underpants on it. And so one episode will be exactly how they've always been, and then one episode will be a pop deep dive. So I'm calling them a pop dive. So it'll be an episode dedicated exclusively to one pop culture topic. Does that make sense? So I'll still oftentimes have a guest on that one, but we'll just focus on one specific pop culture thing. So this week we're releasing our very first Everything Iconic pop dive. And you guys, it's so, so good. Oh my God, it's so, so good. I can't wait for you guys to start hearing these. So they're going to be sort of like recaps, sort of like documentaries, sort of like commentary, but it's going to be on one specific topic. The first Everything Iconic pop dive, it's all about The Rosie O'Donnell Show. So I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. And it's all about The Rosie O'Donnell Show. It's not about Rosie O'Donnell in general. It's about The Rosie O'Donnell Talk Show. So The Rosie O'Donnell Show from the 90s. My guest is H. Allen Scott, who he hosts a podcast called You're Making It Worse. He's great, and he's a Rosie super fan, and we really deep dive into The Rosie O'Donnell Show, and it's so, so good. So that's going to be the very first Everything Iconic pop dive. And then, you know, as they're released, you know, in the coming weeks, so we'll have one regular episode and then one pop dive episode. So I hope that makes sense. You'll start to see as they're released. I'm super excited because they're going to be fun. And it's going to give an opportunity for me to talk about some of these other things that I want to talk about that we don't get to in the normal shows. And then also it's going to allow me in the normal shows to be able to recap things like The Real Houses of New York and to stay consistent doing that. So I'm super excited. And the reason that we're moving to 2 shows a week is because the show is moving to Acast. So we are joining the Watch What Crappens boys over at Acast. And it basically doesn't really mean anything for you guys. We are still going to be able to be listened to on whatever outlet you listen to us. So if you listen to us on iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher, we're still going to be in all those places. We are just basically switching hosting services to this new platform called Acast. So we're also going to be available on Acast. So I'm very excited about that. And as of this show, we are on Acast. So anyway, I just want to say welcome to me. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I don't know. While I'm talking about me, let me tell you all to follow me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram, and on Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. Please join our Everything Iconic Facebook group. I'll be putting all the announcements and everything for the shows in there, and you can kind of stay up to date. And also, everyone's just really fun in there, so you should join it. And we're also still going to be doing the Patreon. So if you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic and donate $4 or more per month to help this podcast and to support this show. And then you'll also get access to all of the exclusive bonus episodes, Real Housewives of New York recaps. We're still going to be doing those over on Patreon. And then we're still going to be doing bonus episodes. So along with the Rosie O'Donnell episode, we have a special bonus episode that'll go on Patreon. And so we have all sorts of fun content over there. And you help support and make this podcast. So I want to thank you. Without further ado, you guys, I'm going to bring out my guests, and then we have some other Bravo stuff I need to talk about. We got to talk about Dodie. We got a lot to talk about, so I'm going to bring out my guests, and then we'll kind of go through this stuff.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
All right, guys, I'm here with my friend, Michael Ross. He is an Emmy-nominated writer.
Hi, Danny.
Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm eating too much of the licorice you just put in front of me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was so nice to say Emmy-nominated.
It felt nice to hear.
Yeah.
It's Have still you heard very it? Fresh. It's yeah. exciting.
Yeah. You are the best, and I'm so excited to As get into Real Housewives of New York. We're going to talk about Roni. We're going to go through the episode, but before we do, there was a national crisis that happened this week, and of course, I'm talking about... Well, there were. I actually should clear it. There was a few national crises.
One of which is the general state of the world.
Sure, one of the general state of the world, but also Kristen Doty was allegedly fired from Vanderpump Rules, not fired, but demoted as a cast member. So it was reported by Radar Online, of course, that she was no longer going to be a full-time cast member. She was just going to be a part-time cast member. And then she came out and said, you know, that's not true, or she said fake news or something like that, because they're all using that moniker now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing now, yes.
Yeah. But can you imagine Vanderpump Rules without Dodie?
Well, here's the thing. I feel like even if you get demoted but you're still getting screen time, Luann has shown us that you can sort of win your way back. Mm-hmm. So it just means you have to work extra hard.
Right.
So, like, really fight for your screen time.
And I kind of think they were setting that up last season because she wasn't filming much at all outside of the group stuff. I don't think
well,
she had...
Well, that's what I wonder, if it's, like, if it's them kind of being like, this isn't worth our time.
Yeah. Yeah, so I actually don't think she's going to be... I think she'll have probably the same amount of screen time as she did last year. I hope, like you said, she'll do something like Luann, where, you know, she'll get in our good graces, she'll do something crazy, and then, you know, she'll
be... Well, here's my other thing, though. I feel like when there's these rumors that people have been demoted half the time, it's their people... I don't know if she has people. Like, I can't imagine she has
does.
People.
She
people
does. I've tried
like
to...
her roommate.
I've tried to reach out to them.
She had, like, her third grade teacher... slip something to Radar Online saying, like, Kristen's going to be demoted, and hoping the public outcry would, like, twist Bravo's arm.
Yeah, I mean, I outcried. I cried.
Well, I know. We're doing it right now. It's
I know, but it is a move to do. And so she said it's fake, but I still think she'll probably film as much as she did last season.
Well, it would be hard to just, like, remove her from the fabric of all of that anyway. Like,
yeah.
I always think it's weird when, like, they just disappear.
Well, and also she's like supposedly best friends with Brittany, like,
okay.
And I think Brittany will probably make her either the maid of honor or definitely in the wedding. And you know, we're going to have to sit through that whole wedding
oh,
stuff.
Oh, for sure. That's good. Like, I feel that'll be like a driving force and yeah. you'll be sick of hearing about it 6 weeks in.
Yeah. Yeah. In other Vanderpump Rules, I'm on that Cameo website, which is really embarrassing. Oh,
but it's not you, right?
But it's not me. They put up, somebody put up a picture there. It was Tom Sandoval and it was my name. It's a Danny Pellegrino podcaster. And I got so excited.
I was going to say, is that flattering? Is that troubling?
Yeah. I think Tom Sandoval is very good looking.
He's very good looking. Right? It's hard to see sometimes, but because I've seen him in motion and acting the way he acts, but yeah.
I love that. I'm very attracted to that gap tooth. Fair.
I could see that.
Not like on Madonna or Willem Dafoe, but
they're the same person. I haven't seen Madonna and Willem Dafoe in the same room in 30 years, so
it's a
I'm sticking with that.
There you go. Okay, we're going to talk about Roni, and I guess sort of a good segue is I want to talk about Luann specifically leaning into her Louis Armstrong bit. Have you?
Yeah, I can't even take that seriously.
Have you followed her Instagram story? Like, have you watched any of Luann's? Do you follow?
On and off.
Yeah. So she's doing this thing where she's constantly in a fedora. She's doing a lot of videos where she's driving around town with like the top down and she's listening to jazz standards really loud. And so we're kind of forced to watch, not forced to watch it. I watch it voluntarily, but we see a lot of Luann listening to jazz standards. And the other day she posted a video where it was just a close up of a raccoon. And it was literally, she just was filming a raccoon while listening to Etta James. Or I don't know if it was Etta James, but it was like something Etta James-esque. And it was 15 seconds.
It was Christina Aguilera's Back to Basics.
It was Candyman. But she's like really leaning into this jazz persona. And at first I thought this whole thing was very fun. Like, I loved that she was touring and I love that she's really doing this jazz bit. But now
I don't
concerned.
Know that she knows it's a bit.
Exactly.
This is what's troubling to me.
Yeah.
I still blame her for Natalie Cole's death. She forced her to perform on television with her and then Natalie Cole died.
Stop it.
Natalie Cole was a drug addict and I still think that was the low moment of her life.
Stop it. Whitney's not here, but I'll tell her to edit that out. But she's really leaning into this jazz thing, and I don't think she knows. I think she thinks she's legit. She's Miles Davis.
I mean, I actually hope she thinks that because we'll get more material out of it.
She looks like very 1980s Michael Jackson. She's always wearing like a white suit and
I need to pay more attention to this now.
Yeah, you have to start watching. I mean, she posted that raccoon video, and then immediately after it, it was like some gays talking to her. And okay, so like the video started, and I posted this online somewhere, but the video started, and this gay is like talking to her in her face, and you can't hear what he says to her, but you hear her say, "No shit." Like, really? No shit. Okay.
No shit.
And then the gay starts saying, "You're just the best. You're the best." So it was.
You are the most.
Okay, can I
get comical?
Yes.
You are so funny. We love you.
Clear that he was complimenting her before the camera came on, and her response was no shit. Like, I don't
queen.
Know. I'm just like
no shit.
And then the caption was happy pride.
Like, I mean, that all kind of fits actually. Problem is, I think she's always searching for like she always needs a very specific persona.
Yeah.
And like her persona was like I'm a wife again, which is like not a very exciting persona. And then we saw how that went.
She takes on these characters that are just
and now
very
her character is like rehab lady and like she's responsible.
Rehab lady mixed with Etta James.
Well, now I think she's like progressing it. And she's like, oh, I'm a serious artist now. Like I've learned from my trauma.
Yeah, and I love Lou. I live laugh Lou. I feel like she's taking this jazz thing a bit too far. Now she's touring everywhere, which I said I wanted, but now
we're
I'm not
giving
sure.
her money for it.
I know.
Paying for it.
I paid $125 per ticket.
I had a mutual friend of ours whose name I won't say during this, who on Cinco de Mayo attempted to get me to go to the show with his husband because he didn't want to go so badly.
Oh, yeah. I saw them there.
Yeah.
I saw them there. Now, I should also mention you're a Roni fan, and you told me before we started recording that you started to lose your voice because...
Because on Sunday, I was running around with my friends, and I kept screaming at people, "Bethany, you don't support other women!" To the point where my best friend got infuriated with me and refused to speak to me for several hours.
Where were you at that you were...
So I did a number of bars, a private pool party, my friend's home, and Soho House.
So you're Team Carol.
I think I'm Team Carol right now.
Right.
Because Bethany is being so grating.
Mm.
But I kind of also see Bethany's point. And I also feel like there was a moment last night that was like in passing where Bethany was just like, it's like Carol and I can't quite connect. Like maybe this friendship is passing. And I was like, that seems like the way normal people evaluate things like this.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like that you were spreading the good word.
I mean, Bethany doesn't support other women.
She has the
while
audacity.
Ramona's getting her dog hit by a car.
Bethany has the audacity. Okay. So let's talk about this week's episode. So, first of all, we started off with the previously on, and there was so much drama packed into that previously on. Like, it was insane. It was like, Luann got arrested, Bethany and Carol are fighting, there's no Nutcracker. It was like so many things. I mean, more drama than Breaking Bad. You're a drama writer.
I'm a drama writer, and these women are putting everyone to shame.
Would any of this fly in a writer's room?
I mean, I think it depends. I think what's interesting about these shows is, like, it's so situational. I always say to people, and I think I've heard you say this before, I don't really watch this because I'm like seriously emotionally invested. I watch it because it's the best comedy on television.
Right.
I always think comedy is like anything that's absurd or out of the norm is funny. Yeah. And nothing these people do tracks with, like, the standards of civilized society.
Yeah, yeah.
We open the episode, and it's Lou and Aston. And I got really sad because I'm watching season two right now for the Patreon stuff. And Aston is a baby. Like, she just gets him. And he looks so old. And it just made me so sad. I don't know. That's, like, neither here nor there.
Sad.
But we also see a timestamp, which I always love a timestamp. But this week's timestamp was 2 days post-rehab.
Ooh.
And that was... You got a shiver, right? I got a shiver.
I've been traveling. I've been to rehab. I've been everywhere.
she's going through her fridge, and she's like, there's lots of rosé in this fridge. And I wondered, she said she had to get rid of it, but it's, I mean, clearly said 2 days post-rehab, so why didn't she get rid of it? I mean, it was still there. It was still there.
She could have mailed it to me. I would have been fine with that.
Dorinda comes over, and we learn that Ramona tried to get on Tom's boat on New Year's
Eve. That was like, I mean, speaking of drama writing, that was like you're in like season six of Breaking Bad, and they show you like a flashback to like a random scene from season one. You see a clue you've never seen. Like they threaded this like back into the narrative so expertly.
I know. I couldn't believe that
Ramona. I gasped.
I know. I did too. I was shocked. And I couldn't believe that Ramona was trying to get on it. But then, the more I thought about it, though, do you think it was wrong of her?
I think it was wrong of her. I think I can see how it happened, because I think from Ramona's perspective, she just was like, oh, whatever, I'll text this guy and see if I can get my friend in.
Yeah.
Like, she kind of just doesn't, she's so inconsiderate to the point of being absurd.
Yeah.
So none of it was surprising. The other thing is, like, I mean, we'll talk about this later, maybe, but, like, everyone's reaction to it was just like, yeah, okay, it's Ramona. Like, Ramona could, like, walk in the door, shoot your grandmother in the face, and 5 minutes later, they'd be like, yeah, that's how Ramona behaves.
I love her.
I think she was not in the right.
Ramona,
I also think
yeah.
the general level of outrage at it was a little ridiculous, but then everyone was quickly just kind of like, Ramona, just, like, apologize. Like, just say I'm sorry for once.
Yeah, yeah. Ramona is sort of harmless in a way, but also, you know, she just does the most outrageous things. But in terms of this situation, I thought, you know, she was with Tom before Luann.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is sort of weird or maybe hypocritical or something to say like, oh, Ramona, I can't believe you wanted to go on Tom's boat. And it's like, Lou, you didn't even invite her to the wedding. Like, if you're trying to say now
so
your friend,
call a spade a spade.
Spade a spade. You know, so it's like, are you friends? If you want to say that we're friends, it's like, then you both have to treat each other like a friend. Also in this scene, like when they were just introducing it at Luann's house, Dorinda came in and she said, Ramona's a slob kebab.
Yeah, that felt like an attempt at a new meme gone awry. Yeah. I rewound it like 3 times. I was like, what did she just say?
Slob kebab. It's going to be on a pillow or a t-shirt.
We're like, talk about a real slob kebab or whatever.
I know, Dorinda, and I love Dorinda too, but it's like, do you think her catchphrases are real?
I mean, I think they're real in the sense that I think she's so wasted she's blurting them out.
She's just saying things.
Like, I think the decorated, I cooked, I made it nice, that was real.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was out of her mind at that moment.
Yeah.
This felt real forced. I don't think I'm going to be on board with this, which means in 2 weeks I'm going to lose my voice screaming slob kebab.
Slob kebab. It is a really good line, slob kebab. So then the girls are all going to the spa. They're having a spa weekend, and we see the girls all driving there. It's Carol, Tinsley, and Ramona driving. It's Dorinda and Lou, and then it's Bethany and Sonia. This Bethany and Sonia
thing. I was just about to cut in and say that.
Please cut in. What?
No, I just find the Bethany and Sonia thing so strange.
Right.
It's like, oh, I guess we're the last two standing.
Yeah.
Like, it literally reads like some kind of a weird, like, backdoor alliance.
And I don't buy it at all.
No.
I mean, we've never seen Bethany very receptive to Sonia until now, when she doesn't have anyone else to kind of latch
onto.
If
Bethany is irritated by the fact that Carol, like, dyed her hair lighter and took a selfie, how is she putting up with Sonia for any length of time?
I know.
Like, there's no way.
The scene of them, we'll get to later, when they were doing the face mask, it was very cute. But when I saw them in the car together, I just thought, ugh, gross. I feel like they're trying to force us this friendship.
It feels like a new force alliance.
Yeah. So, and also we hear the story about Luann, the arrest story.
This was like I don't even know. It was like all these stock characters. We got like the polo player, the jazz singer.
Like a game of Clue.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
It turned out it was like the Countess in room 305 with the Blackberry.
I love Luann, so I hate that I'm talking badly about her. But something about this whole arrest thing in the past week or two has rubbed me the wrong way, because I feel like she is laughing about it, which, again, you have to laugh at your kind of the shit that you go through in life, right? But I don't know if it's like because of all the police brutality news or something, where I'm like, This wouldn't fly if this was a...
Oh, there's no way. I mean, like...
I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way.
There were a couple moments in this episode especially where, like, she was like, oh, I saw how people get lost in the system.
Right, right.
And I was like, did you? I think you spent a night in a cell.
She said, I felt what it's like to be stuck in that system. And it's like, oh my God, Lou.
Like, no, hon, like, you're a rich white lady who got bailed out, went to court, got told you were being charged with some felonies, then went to your fridge full of rosé and then to the spa.
I know. It's just like, it's kind of cringy.
I know, it felt a little icky. I agree.
Yeah, and I love Lou and I want her to make light of the situation. I just don't like that. I don't know. And I think
you can laugh at, I was so ridiculous, I can't believe that was me.
Yeah.
Wow, this story's insane, without kind of like... downplaying the severity of the situation or other people's situations.
Yeah. And really, it was all because of her allergies. She was supposed to stay at her friend Julie's house, but she had a cat allergy. So, and you know what I wrote in my notes? I get that. I have a severe cat allergy, and I couldn't stay anywhere with a cat. I don't know that I'd go to the hotel that I was due to get married in or got married in.
Yeah, this is a series of questionable choices.
Yeah, yeah. But she's laughing about this, and the thing that sort of struck Lou the most was that she got a bologna sandwich.
And there was a mustard packet inside it.
She couldn't believe that there was mustard inside.
It was always like a dead fish hanging out of her mouth.
I know, it was gross. And I wonder what that guy looked like, the guy that she was escaping to the hotel. Do we know what he looked like?
Well, he was reported to be in his 20s, but he's really closer to their age. That's what she said.
Oh, yeah. That's what she said? I missed that.
She told Dorinda, she's like, well, all the stories said he was in his 20s, but really, he's our age. I'm like, what polo player is 55 years old?
I know. I want to know what he looked like. I mean, if he was hot, I would forgive all of this.
I mean, I think, yeah, I don't know.
So they get
her
to,
taste is questionable.
I know. I like when she's hooking up with young hot men. So they get to the spa, and it looks beautiful. The thing that made me laugh the most was right when they got there, Dorinda cheers her.
Like, immediately after being like, can you give her some pink dye for her sparkling water so it looks... Okay, also, can we talk about the fact that when they showed up, I don't know if this was like a shady move or what, Dorinda was actually dressed as the Nutcracker.
It was so funny. She literally looked like the Nutcracker. I know, I was thinking that too. It must have been shady. I think it was shady because here's why. Because before Bethany got there, Dorinda was like, oh, I hear Bethany coming. And then she like ran to the room and put the hat on. Yes. It was like totally intentional, right?
It felt deeply intentional.
She was in Nutcracker cosplay.
Yes.
For Bethany's arrival. And Bethany didn't notice.
No. Much like she didn't notice that Dorinda got the Nutcracker in the first place. So it was so
bizarre. I don't know what's going on with Dorinda, but I love her. But she cheers Luann, and then she, yeah, of course, asked for pink dye for Luann's drink.
That's disgusting.
And so when Bethany arrived at the spa, she told Dorinda that she looked like a beef eater. And
which is not incorrect.
What's a beef
eater? Beef eater gin. Like, have you ever seen that bottle? I mean, there's a backstory to it, but like, there's a figure on the bottle that I believe looks not unlike a Nutcracker.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I like literally did not know what she was talking about.
I'm going to see if I can find this whilst we sit here.
Please find it. So then one of my favorite moments was when Bethany gave the girls gift bags.
I know where this is going.
It reminded me of one of the most iconic moments of all time on The Real Housewives of New York when she gave Kelly Bensimone a skinny girl gift bag on Scary Island. Do you remember that? And Kelly thought Bethany was trying to kill her with this gift bag. And then she called. Wait. Oh, you found the picture. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to expose how stupid I am now.
Yeah, so that looks.
I don't really know what the origin of the beef eater figure is, but it's some kind of British.
So everyone look a beef eater. That's what Dorinda looked like.
A red coat and that black hat. But she was wearing more of a nutcracker, like,
yeah,
from by way of Russia hat.
She did look like that. So everyone Google beef eater. But so back to Kelly Bensimone. All roads lead back to Kelly Bensimone.
Yes. Mostly the roads of New York that she's jogging through in the middle of traffic.
Oh my God, I love Kelly. But in season 3, when they went to Scary Island, Bethany gave them those gift bags. And it was like the best moment because Kelly thought Bethany was trying to kill her. And it was literally just a gift bag of skinny girl merch and called Jill. And it's like the most amazing phone call in the history because she's just like, Jill, I feel like she's trying to kill me. She gave me a gift bag. So I just love that I was reminded of it. And these gift bags in this week's episode didn't have a skinny girl logo.
I was stunned that there was not a single product plug involved in that.
Right. We were all shocked. Talk about shockwaves through the nation.
Although, you know, she was like formulating skinny girl spa kit as that scene played out.
Yeah, those face masks that she did with, in the room with Sonia. Mm-hmm. I bet you she did that scene so that she could come out with her own skinny girl face mask.
Meanwhile, the only thing Sonia cared about was the paper from the gift bag.
She saved the tissue paper. Like, I get that. You know, I save my, like my grandma used to do, I save tinfoil. And I found I started to do that. Like, if I have leftovers in the fridge with tinfoil on it, and I finish them, I'll fold up the tinfoil. It's like really dark, and I'm not proud of it.
Are you putting other food in the tinfoil later?
I mean, it's only if it's like covering, if it's covering a bowl, so it's not touching the food directly. Okay. Oh, then I'll save it and use it again. Like, I'm not at all proud of it.
Would you put it like in a drawer?
Yeah, in a drawer. I'm ashamed of it.
But you won't stop.
But I won't stop. Okay. My grandma used to do it, so I understood when Sonia was saving that paper. You know, times are tough.
She has a townhouse full of crap. Like, she doesn't need paper. She's got enough. She's going to put it on her bed and lay in the middle of it.
So soon, Sonia and Bethany arrived to the spa. And then Sonia, did you catch that moment where Sonia was just staring Lou in the eyes?
No.
Sonia literally just like locked eyes with Lou.
It was where she goes, like, I'm going to look in your eyes.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. I'm going to look in your eyes. And then she says, we've all been headed this way.
I was like, truer words, like, have never been spoken.
These girls are all having a come to Jesus moment with Luann's arrest because they're all like,
I don't remember when this happened in the episode, so let's throw it in now. Yeah. There was one point they were reflecting on the arrest and Dorinda goes, well, we've all been much quieter lately. Says the woman who lit her face on fire 3 weeks ago on purpose.
Dorinda just had a flashback to when she lit her face on fire at the Berkshires.
Didn't even affect
her. Didn't feel it.
She was like, this is quiet for you people?
She probably needed to, you know, put some cucumbers on those at the spa on her burn marks. She didn't even notice. Oh, yeah. Sonia, I wonder what Dorinda felt the moment she heard that Luann was arrested. Do you think she got diarrhea right away?
No, I feel like she didn't even think about it as it might pertain to her.
Yeah. So it's just slowly seeping in, you think?
Yeah.
Like slowly but surely she starts to think like, this could be me.
Well, as Bethany told her in the most sensitive of terms, you're drunk. So we'll see what happens.
When Sonia was looking in Luann's eyes and she was saying, you know, like, I'm able to see you, Lou. And she was acting like they were so like in sync and close and everything. I just thought, like, Sonia wasn't even invited to Luann's wedding.
And the only significant interaction I really remember them having, and this is probably me just having a selective memory, is Sonia constantly bringing up the fact that she slept with Luann's husband prior to Luann marrying him.
Oh, this whole thing
has
been
just... What a bond for the ages.
A beautiful journey. Do you remember that season? I don't know. It was, like, a few seasons ago when they did, like, a fake thing with Harry where they were fighting over Harry.
Yes.
And it was so, it felt so not
and
real.
And no one could even really commit to the fighting.
Yeah, it was
he like, just kind of kept popping up and they'd mention it and then it was like, oh yeah, he's here again.
Yeah, and then like season ended where it was like he had proposed to Sonia and then, you know, it was revealed that he proposed to her and the same night he proposed, he went home with Luann. And it felt like so outlandish and not real.
Then they got like a real version of that with Tom.
Yeah. So they're all sitting around talking about their holidays. And Luann says, everybody's holiday was better than mine. And I just thought, yeah.
Well, yes, that's accurate.
Yeah. And these white women just keep laughing about this arrest. It's a little insensitive. You know, I know we talked about that, but...
It's not the most woke thing I've ever heard.
No. And Tinsley was just worried about her Google rank.
You know what? Tinsley, I gotta say, she didn't get a lot of focus in this episode. I always thought Sonia was the obvious, like, Grey Gardens candidate. That scene at the bridal shop, it's Tinsley.
Yeah, yeah.
She's gonna be 70 years old, crying with her, like, frozen embryos. Her hair is still in those, like, damn curls, wearing a baby doll dress that has, like, mud all over it.
Where do you land on Tinsley? Do you like her for the show?
I don't dislike her. She's fine. I give her a lot of credit for randomly screaming, shut your mouth and shut your fucking legs that one time.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was funny. It had to do with nothing, but it was funny.
Yeah. Her moment to shine.
That whole exploit in the bridal shop shook me to my core.
Me too. I loved it. I thought
it was so dark. I was uncomfortable. I mean, it was good TV.
Yeah.
But like sobbing over your frozen eggs. And then I think in the preview for next week, she tells Carol about the bridal shop. She's like, well, it wasn't a real wedding dress. I was like,
oof. Yeah, and Carol's just, like, judging her.
Is this guy still dating her?
No, they're broken up.
Okay, thank God.
That's what last I heard, they broke up. Of course they did. Of course they did.
Guys, I've been, like, dumped for, like, texting back too fast.
Yeah.
If I were to go try on tuxes for a wedding?
Oh, my God. It's, like, really dark. So then we have Ramona is laying it on so thick.
This was amazing.
To Luann. She just is like, I'm so proud of you. And whenever Ramona's laying it on that thick, it's like, you know, she's guilty of something. It's so obvious.
It was true. And The comedy in that scene was also Luann sitting there just, like, biting her tongue and waiting.
Yeah.
And Ramona just keeps going because you can see she's waiting for Luann to, like, stop her.
I loved it. She just, Ramona just does not stop.
Oh, I mean, I'm just, my girlfriend sustain me.
Yeah, yeah.
She was going on and on. I didn't know what she was talking about.
I realize you need your girlfriends. You just need your girlfriends in your life. You just need them. Sonya rocks. Do you remember that?
Sorry. It was truly out of control. And you could tell she was cognizant of the fact that she'd done something wrong.
Yeah.
Or at least might have stepped on some toes.
Whenever she acts like that, it's like she did something really bad.
Yeah.
It's so obvious. It's like Ramona.
See, that's what tipped me a little bit too, to be like, no, Sonya did do something wrong, or Ramona did do something wrong. Because even she was aware that it was bad.
Yeah.
Or at least crossed a line. It was inappropriate.
It was inappropriate. So they go to dinner, and I don't know if you caught this, but when they arrived at the location of the dinner, they like all were in a car. And when they got out of the car, chip bags fell on the street.
I was about to ask what fell on the ground. I thought it was like a crumpled up flyer.
It was bags of chips.
Were they skinny girl chips?
No, but I thought like, what is going on their way to dinner? Like they couldn't halt it or something. So they had just chip bag. It was like a road trip.
I've definitely eaten chips on the way to dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got it. Who do you think was eating the chips?
Not Sonya, cause she's vegan now. So she probably was eating them actually.
Yeah, she probably was. But it just made me laugh. There was just chip bags on the street. So then they get to the restaurant and Ramona takes a picture, and this picture became like a point of contention later. But did you notice when they took the picture, no one had drinks yet?
I actually didn't notice that, but it was right when they ordered their wines. That makes sense.
The picture, I looked it up online yesterday after the episode. There was no wine in the glasses.
No. So it changes the whole thing a little
right?
bit.
I think so too, but they made it seem like there was, you know, that was an issue.
Point of showing the picture being taken.
Yeah. So they're at dinner and some people were getting drinks and then they start having a sex talk. And I love when the girls have a sex talk. It feels very Sex and the City when they do it on Roni.
And it was oddly forced to me.
Oh, I love it.
Like, everyone just, looked up these terms on Urban Dictionary and decided to jump in.
I loved it. Carol said,
you learn something?
Well, Carol said that nails grow when you are having sex, and I don't know if that's true.
I was very unclear
on
what the implication was there. And then Bethany says something like, it's because you're not putting your finger up somebody's butt.
Oh, did Bethany say
I think
say
Bethany
that?
Slipped that in, and I was
oh my God, Bethany.
Ramona. It's like always 10 steps too far.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like last year, didn't they have, they were on a vacation and they talked about anal for a while?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, yeah. They also talked about music during sex, and Ramona said that she has a sex playlist.
This was a cute little montage, actually. I thought it was funny.
It was cute, right? What do you think is on Ramona's sex playlist? I remember seeing a video of her singing along to Pitbull
on
Instagram.
She named some song that was like a very current, ridiculous song, and I was like, yeah, sure, Ramona.
Didn't she say she liked Al Green or Marvin Gaye?
Someone said that at some point.
Yeah.
Ramona also named a very contemporary song, and I was like, oh, God.
Was it Christina Aguilera?
No, it was not Candyman.
she listening to Lotus?
Nobody even knows what that is. Nobody ever heard that.
I'm so sad about Christina's album flopping. Have you listened to it?
I don't mind it.
Liberation?
Yeah.
It's good. I like
it. It's not a bad album. I had no even vague thought that it would do well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not embarrassing, which is a step up from her last 2 to 3 efforts.
I know. We're digressing for a second, but Liberation by Christina Aguilera is a good album. There's a song called Pipe on it that I like. That would
it's
be
a good album.
Pipe from Christina Aguilera's album would be on a sex playlist.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's a good sex.
Okay, so Sonya said she doesn't need music. She just said, start me up, wind me down, flip me over, I'm ready.
Which is the most Sonya thing ever said.
Until
we get to later in the episode, but yeah.
It. And then it's revealed that Ramona texted Tom. And so this is kind of like Tom fight at the dinner table. And then Ramona at first kind of, she doesn't even say I'm sorry, but she sort of explains herself.
Sorry.
And then she just gets combative instead of just apologizing. She just gets combative. And again, I don't know that she's totally at fault because I don't think her and Luann were that good of friends. I do get that there's like some girl code. I don't know.
I think it was probably like a crappy thing to do. And she probably could have said, hey, my friend was trying to get into this party. I texted Tom. I probably shouldn't have. It didn't work anyway, whatever.
Yep.
But Ramona has never taken the path of like least resistance or most common sense.
Right, right.
Instead,
right.
She walked into the house and was like, oh, Luann, you give me life. And like, one of those like 20-minute monologue.
There was a commercial too right after bit. And I just need to say that there's that Las Vegas lesbian commercial.
I like that commercial. It's
it makes me cry.
Yeah, it's a good commercial. I thought you were going to bring up the coupon cabin or whatever.
No, what do you think of the coupon cabins though?
The idea of those three women, Dorinda, Carol, and Tinsley, doing anything together is kind of confusing to me.
I also feel like they trick us because it's sort of similar music that they play in them. Have you noticed that? And so it's like I'll be in the other room getting a snack and then I'll hear that music. I'll be like, oh, the girls are back on. And then I rush back in.
See, they get me with this every time. I'll stop the DVR because I'll like see Tinsley's face.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I'm like, no, never mind. It's just like Tinsley pulling a receipt out of her bra.
Yeah, hawking coupons.
Or whatever. Get your money, whatever. Pay to store those eggs.
So then we're back at the dinner table, and Ramona makes a joke that she invited Tom to her party. And when she did the joke, my jaw literally dropped. I thought it was definitely serious. Did
you think she
was kidding? Or did you?
No, it didn't read like a joke at all.
Oh my God. My jaw dropped. And then a couple seconds go by, and she finally said, like, no. It was a joke.
But I feel like maybe she actually invited Tom to a party.
Yeah.
And then was like, I'm going to see how this lands.
I think she did too. I think she probably invited him and she's like, I'm going to just say it. And then she saw the response and she's like, it was a joke.
I would agree with you.
I don't think it was. So then we get like kind of like a little pajama party. This is where Sonia saves the tissue paper and they do their little face masks. And it was a cute little, it's a cute little physical comedy stuff.
Everyone was so, in comparison to the last trip they took, so lucid and in control.
And Sonia was shaving her tongue.
Which sounds about right.
Yeah. And they did a flashback to Luann's water scene, which is like, of course, my favorite scene in history. But every week they keep doing this flashback. And so every week I'm forced to do my Luann impression.
Are you going
to
do it?
I got to wait. Let me take a glass of water. Water!
The best thing about it is like when they, the audio is funny enough, but like as it happens on screen, the camera's like flying around frantically. There you see like limbs flying out of the bed sheets.
Bethany has the shakes.
Truly, like it looks like the camera just woke up wasted. I know. And like I have never woken up drunk and immediately just shouted, water!
Water! Turns into a demon.
Like, I've had the thought, like, where am I? What happened last night?
No shit!
But, like, they keep showing it to the point where it's so unnecessary.
I'm picturing Luann filming that raccoon again.
That's how Luann was in jail, probably.
No shit!
When she woke up with no blanket.
Baloney! Oh, they keep doing it every single week. And I hope they never stop. Honestly, I hope they never stop.
It's honestly getting more play than like some of the actual iconic moments in the show. So it's become iconic.
I know. It's just they keep doing it every single week. And again, I love it. I love it. So then we're all sitting around. The girls are sitting in their pajamas. And we talk about Sonia's shoes. And she says, the family crest.
She knows what she's doing in a way. But I'm never clear like how in on the joke Sonia is versus how much she's like, oh, this facet of my mental illness has become a talking point this season, so I'm going to play it up. Like, her tagline being like, I'm more than a last name, I'm a legacy. I'm like, no, you're not. She's literally not a member of that family anymore, legally.
And she even said, I have a huge responsibility. I'm not letting the family down. And I thought, like, really?
What have you been doing for the last 7 years, first of all?
You're letting them down every week on camera. We've seen her like fall over at the club. She's on TMZ.
Like, I've seen her like lifting up her skirt with no bloomers on.
They've had to literally censor her vagina multiple times throughout the years, like at her burlesque show or whatever. It's like
the only way I would give any credence to this I owe the family something thing is I forget often because she's not on camera that she has a child that's a member of that family.
Yeah.
That said, she's also not doing right by that child by anything she's done.
No. I wonder what the family thinks of her, the Morgans. Do you think they're like, she needs to get off TV?
No, they're probably like, okay, good. She's like busy and leaving us alone. But this whole thing with the family crest is absolutely insane.
You don't think she should use it?
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I do too.
I also think it's ridiculous that Dorinda has this like vendetta against like the difference between widowhood and divorce.
I know. Did you see? Dorinda was just like glaring at Sonia during this moment. Like when she heard family crest, it was like Dorinda's just, her jaw clenched and she got so fucking pissed and she was just ready to pounce on Sonia.
It's like, I don't really want to be wearing like a sensible woman's shoe that has a family crest on it. Mm-hmm. It's like a weird design choice.
I mean, these women were all ready to fight Bethany. Once she saw Dorinda clenched up, she clenched up and she's like, I'm going to get her.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, and then I think Carol was in the background clenched and she didn't get her moment to shine because she's too quiet.
Because she couldn't cut. You can't butt in over those two.
Do you know, side note, this is Carol's last summer.
We
just started her last summer, so
she got one good summer left.
Congrats, this is it, Carol.
Not last summer, last good summer, right?
Yeah.
So she's gonna have many poor ones after this.
I know. I hope she's enjoying her last summer. I hope she makes the most of it. Sleeps with some hot guys or something.
She better.
But so Dorinda really pounced on Sonia at this moment, and then Bethany pounced on her back. Bethany was right when she said, Dorinda, you have your husband's name. I don't know.
Well, I think there's a difference between keeping your married name, especially when you're a parent of a child that has that name. I feel like That doesn't strike me as crazy. I think there also is a difference to keeping the name when you were widowed versus when you're divorced.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of like nobody's business. Like, you legally change your name. You don't have to change it back.
Yeah.
I think there's a world of difference between that and, like, slapping the family crest on some, like, cheap shoes you got made that may or may not actually exist.
Sonia rocks! Do you remember, like,
the flashback to Sonia's fashion show in Ramona?
She's, like, standing up during
the fashion
show.
She's definitely
on
something. Sonia rocks! She's just shaking. Ramona's shaking. Literally. So then Luann gets a call from her publicist, and she said, "My publicist is calling me, and I get scared when my publicist calls me." And she was frightened because this Ramona posted this picture online of the girls at dinner. And again, it was an innocent picture. If you look it up, they had empty wine glasses. There was no alcohol in the wine glasses. And Luann never told Ramona not to post a picture. Like,
well, that's what I was going to say. Like, there was all this hysteria over it. She could have actually just walked downstairs and been like, "Hey, Ramona, can you take that down?" Like, yeah. I don't think the Palm Beach legal system is so all over Instagram that they would have, like, seen Ramona's picture in 6 minutes.
What do you make of these women all being in Palm Beach all the time?
I'm very, like, confused by it.
Is that a destination for women of their age?
I think so.
Is it?
I think it's like how us, like, Los Angeles gays go to Palm Springs.
Oh, right.
Like, I think it must be the equivalent of that.
It's Palm Beach. Yeah, it's like every week we find out a new person was in West Palm Beach.
I know. I feel like there's going to be a spinoff. Or they're going to have a lost season that we're going to see.
I would love there to be a West Palm Beach episode or, you know, show. It could be at the girl's house, Julie with the cats.
Oh, that could be.
She could be, like, the center of it. And I think Jill Zarin's there a lot.
That sounds about right.
Right? And then Siggy, I think, from New Jersey is there a lot.
Maybe we have a spinoff.
There should be a spinoff.
Like an all-star season.
Yeah, there should be a spinoff. So Ramona's response to it was, "We all looked good." she didn't care.
Also, she's like, "We all looked so happy." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think it's because you were maniacally, like, telling everyone how you need your girlfriend. Like, all hell was about to break loose. It was the beginning of the dinner when everyone's usually fine, except for the dinner that started with Dorinda stabbing herself.
Yeah.
Like, usually they're always fine until, like, the drinks are served. It was a cute picture, though.
So it was a good episode. That's the end of the episode. And again, I love it. This season, I just think, is so, so good.
There have been, I swear to God, we're, what, 11 episodes in? 10 episodes in?
12. I think we're 12.
There's been the equivalent of 4 Beverly Hills seasons.
Oh, my God. Like, it's insane how much has happened this season versus, like, Orange County last season or Beverly Hills last season.
If this was Beverly Hills, we'd be talking about Ramona texting Tom for the next 8 weeks.
Ugh,
no one's going to even mention it again.
It really, like, when you compare them, I think it does. It's embarrassing for Beverly Hills. Like, Beverly Hills was so. And I know people like Beverly Hills, and people are probably going to get mad at me for talking shit about it again. But nothing happened on Beverly Hills last season at all. And this season, like I said on the previously on, it's like we have jail. We have friendships, you know, breaking apart. We have, you know, people betraying each other. We have nutcrackers. We have, you know, Luann demanding water. Water! I mean, it's just so much is happening.
We have a murder mystery dinner that just abruptly ended in a way that I didn't really understand.
Costume parties. I mean, there's just so much happening. And Beverly Hills.
Face is being set on fire.
Did you hear the rumor this week that Brandy is returning to Beverly Hills?
No, I don't know how I feel about that.
I wanted it. I was, like, all for it. I'm like, we need Brandy back to stir up some shit. And then Brandy kind of, like, did more things that are just genuinely Brandy.
Did you see her Father's Day post or whatever on social media?
That was the bleakest thing I've ever seen.
There's something very dark. The only way I really want Brandy back is if they can get Leanne Rimes, too.
Oh, I know, my dream.
Because I know that I'm probably a bad person for wanting to see this happen on television.
No.
But it'd be an absolute disaster.
Yeah. How do I live without it? I need it.
I want to know.
I've been saying that for the years. But we definitely need someone of Brandy's nature.
We need
a catalyst. We need someone to, like, move the drama ahead.
Like, I hate Dorit, but Dorit was the only reason there was even a show. They would not have had enough material to fill 13 episodes.
No,
If Dorit hadn't been late to that one meeting at Plan Check.
I didn't like where they were going on Beverly Hills last season. They were all going to places like we would go to.
I know. There were many times where I was like, oh, I've gotten in a fight there.
Yeah, like,
go get in a fight somewhere I can't go.
I don't want to see them at Planet Dailies or, like, or the Cheesecake Factory or something. You know, like, don't go to the Grove.
They're definitely going to be like Italy next season.
The one episode they were at, was it Tarte, across from the Grove? And it's like, I don't want to see the Beverly Hills women near the Grove. Like, they shouldn't even be in the same vicinity as the Grove.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, and next season we're going to see them at a Chipotle.
Yeah, we're going to be Blaze Pizza in the farmer's market.
Dorit's late to Blaze Pizza. Could you imagine? Like, girls are all going to go build our own pizzas at Blaze.
I'm only watching that if someone actually climbs in the pizza oven.
I know, but so they need someone. And what would you do to New York? Speaking of like casting, we're halfway through New York, just about. Which is shocking.
I don't know that I would change much.
I had Stu on, my friend Stu on last week, recapping with me. And he was like, oh, we're at the end of the season, right, of New York? And I was like, no, we're like halfway through. Like, we're only halfway through. We still have the whole boat trip.
Here's the thing. They're doing so well, even Tinsley, in terms of, like, chemistry with the group, that I don't think I would want to futz around with
me either.
Yeah. And wind up with, like, another Jules.
Yeah.
We're going to get Cindy Barshop back.
Cindy was the worst. Cindy was the real low point.
Cindy was, the low point of the series. Yeah. It was, like, when they were, like, mid-reboot.
Yeah.
And all she could talk about was, like, those children that might have been fathered by her brother and her, like, vajazzling business or whatever.
Although she did give us one of the greatest scenes, which was Sonia telling her that there's a pecking order.
Oh, that was good.
Sonia, like, that was when we thought Sonia was more regal. Do you remember her?
Like, when Sonia seemed like she might have some, like, element of class to her.
Yes. And then we started to learn. That was when the cracks of Sonia started to come through. And then she's like, you know, there's a pecking order, Cindy Barshop. And Cindy was just the worst,
though. Cindy was weirdly, like, to me, like, almost a pre-Carol. Like, not in the way that I didn't really like her, but, like, until the season, I keep being with Carol, like, are you too normal to be doing this to yourself?
Right.
Like, you seem, like, too capable of, like, logic and reason to be in the middle of this. And I think she just, like, got rid of those things so she could stay on the show.
Is there anyone you would bring back from the past? Would you bring Jill back?
I think enough time has passed. I think Jill is she's a catalyst who has a lot of history with these women. So we're not going to have to watch the awkward, like,
intro.
Oh, here's my friend Miranda who's been at all these parties for 7 years that I'm just going to make a big point of talking to you now.
Yeah.
The scenes at Bobby's funeral, I thought, it made me kind of want to see more of the Jill and Bethany.
Right.
Because I feel like the story could move forward. Because I think when Jill left, it had stagnated.
Yeah.
Nothing new was going to happen.
But do you think Bethany will be back? I don't think she will. She unfollowed everyone on social media. Even Luann, who she was close with. I don't know if she followed him back, but there was a point, and I did hear rumors that her and Luann are not friends anymore, but maybe they made up.
I mean, honestly, the one thing I could see happening is that Bethany, she's not getting a good edit this season. I don't think she's getting a purposefully bad edit. I think she's getting an edit based on what actually happened.
Yeah.
And she doesn't look great. She doesn't look like a terrible person, but she doesn't look the way I think she wants to look. So I could definitely see her being like, oh, I came off badly. I'm leaving again. I don't need this.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would necessarily, I think she brings something to the show. Mm-hmm. I don't think the show would fall apart without her. Everyone else is out.
You know, I just have to say real quick when we're going to wrap this up, but I just want to say that justice for Heather Thompson. I think Heather was better than people give her credit for. People hate on Heather, and I think she was a good housewife.
I think she was a good housewife. I never minded her being there. I thought she was kind of annoying at times, but like annoying in a way that I got some easy go-to jokes out of.
Right.
So it's fine.
Holla.
Holla.
I always just think, you know, she gets hated on, and you know what? Justice for Heather Thompson. Michael, thank you so much for joining
me.
This was so fun. Where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter. It's Michael Ross, but it's MYKLERAUS.
So it's spelled like...
It's basically spelled phonetically because I can never get my name in anything. What same if the, I handle wish, on Instagram.
I wish the girls would spell their name like that, like L-O-O.
Maybe they should. Honestly, if I had ever been able to get my name on anything ever, I wouldn't have started doing that 10 years ago.
Yeah, you have to.
And now I think I probably could come up with a version of my real name.
Yeah.
But everyone knows this one, so I just go with it.
So everyone follow Michael on social media. You could find out about all his new projects and everything coming up. Michael, I love you so much for doing this. Thank you.
I love you too. Thank you.
Everyone find me on social media. Rate and review this podcast if you like it. Only if you like it. I'm emotionally unstable.
Baloney.
Baloney.
There we go.
Okay. All right. I love you guys. Thank you.